Episode 252, Last Planner. Kaizen to go. Herzlich willkommen zu dem Podcast für Lean-Interessierte, die in ihren Organisationen die kontinuierliche Verbesserung der Geschäftsprozesse und Abläufe anstreben, um Nutzen zu steigern, Ressourcenverbrauch zu reduzieren und damit Freiräume für echte Wertschöpfung zu schaffen, für mehr Erfolg durch Kunden- und Mitarbeiterzufriedenheit, höhere Produktivität durch mehr Effektivität und Effizienz. An den Maschinen, im Außendienst, in den Büros bis zur Chefetage. Heute habe ich Susan Brett-Reinhardt bei mir im Podcastgespräch. Heute ist auch eine etwas besondere Episode. Wir werden uns zum größten Teil ausschließlich fast auf Englisch unterhalten. Dazu wird Susan gleich noch etwas erzählen. Sie ist Architektin und Lean Consultant in Colorado. Es wird aber ein deutsches Transkript geben. Hallo Susan.
Hallo, grüezi miteinander.
Ja, das hört sich dann doch etwas deutsch an. Jetzt hatte ich schon einen ganz kurzen Satz zu dir gesagt, aber stell dich gerne mal selber vor und dann wechseln wir auf Englisch.
Ja, danke, dass du mich in deinem Podcast hast. Ja, ich bin Architektin und tatsächlich war meine erste Architekturstelle vor fast 30 Jahren in der Schweiz. So, ich bin auch Schweizerin. Und in der Schweiz habe ich hauptsächlich an Schulen gearbeitet. In den Vereinigten Staaten habe ich an allem gearbeitet, von einer 1,5 Millionen Dollar Bergbibliothek bis zu einer 4 Milliarden Dollar Universität in Saudi-Arabien. So, es macht mir Spaß, sicherzustellen, dass Kunden das gewünschte Projekt zu einem günstigen Preis erhalten. In der Schweiz, ich sprach 2 Jahre lang nur Deutsch und konnte damals sehr gut sprechen, aber das ist lange her. Also werde ich mich auf Deutsch verstellen und dann können wir uns auf Englisch unterhalten. So, als Architektin würde ich oft aufgefordert, fehlgeschlagene Projekte zu retten. Und ich entwickelte bald viele Projektmanagement-Methoden, damit Projekte von Anfang an Erfolg hatten. Als ich für mein MBA studierte, wurde ich in Lean eingeführt und stellte fest, dass ich sozusagen das Rad in meiner vorherigen Arbeit neu erfunden hatte, so sagen wir auf Englisch. Ich begann Kurse in Lean Manufacturing zu belegen und begann dann mit meiner eigenen Firma die Bauindustrie in Lean-Methoden zu konsultieren. So, ich habe 5 Jahre lang bis 2020 für Lean Project Consulting gearbeitet, der Firma, die von den beiden Männern gegründet wurde, die auch das Last Planner System erfunden haben. Ich habe sowohl in der Entwurfs- als auch in der Bauphase mit Eigentümern, Designern und generell Unternehmern zusammengearbeitet, um die Projektabwicklung zu verbessern. Und ihnen auch dabei geholfen, Lean-Methoden für die Entwicklung von Unternehmungsstrategien zu verwenden. So, die Bauindustrie kam spät zu Lean-Methoden, aber ich denke, unsere Fähigkeit, Projekte zu verwalten, bei denen Menschen aus verschiedenen Firmen zusammenkommen, um etwas Neues zu schaffen, ist etwas, von dem viele Branchen lernen könnten. So, Last Planner ist für Lean Construction von grundlegender Bedeutung. So koordiniert ein Projektteam seine Arbeit und ich freue mich, heute darüber zu sprechen.
Ja, vielen Dank. And now we switch to English. As a kind of topical introduction, what are the biggest challenges in the construction industry? Because otherwise we would not talk about it.
Yes, well, the construction industry is pretty inefficient. If you look at a graph since 1964 through 2012, at least in the US, I think it's similar elsewhere. We have not, you know, it's taking us longer, actually, more inputs to get buildings built. If you look at every other industry, they have had just a wonderful increase in productivity, but we have literally been flat. Most of our buildings are over budget and over schedule. And it's so hard to predict when you're going to get your building and how much it's going to cost you. And we're only now really starting to get a mentality that this is not acceptable. So I spoke with someone in the auto industry and he was lean. He would take lean into fabric into factories. And he said, you know, if I see a 50-cent fastener on the floor, I pick it up and says, who thinks this 50-cent fastener should be on this floor? Who thinks we can waste this? But now he's working in construction through various channels. And he says, we have $1,000 panels sitting in the mud, you know, and the truck drives over them. And everybody shrugs. And for him, this was just, this is just a, you know, a catastrophe. But there is certainly this notion, you know, we're getting better. We're not lax, but at some point, yes, it's something we really need to address. And many people have found different ways of doing it. And adapting lean has been one of the best ways to really help us get those projects on time, on budget. And not just that, but make sure it's what the customer actually wants.
Well, it could be interesting to look also into the reasons for those issues, because I think the construction industry is probably one of the oldest on earth.
Yes.
4,000 years ago or even more. In Egypt, we as humans built already big things, but it seems like we haven't learned anything over those millenniums. So what are the reasons for those issues?
You know, I think we've learned plenty, and there's been many inventions. I would say it's probably just the fragmentation of the team. If you consider an auto plant, sure, they have many different suppliers, but you know, everybody in the auto plant putting on the doors, putting on the windows, you know, putting in the engine is from the same company. And they all work together to make that profit and make things as efficient as possible. Even then, you have silos. We're talking about people coming from all over the place. You could have 50 different subcontractors. And, you know, the engineer team and the designers, and even the owner is not just the owner. They have so many different user groups. They have the community stakeholders, regulatory agencies. You know, there's a lot of people with different motives, different ideas, different profit centers, and they're all coming together, you know, temporarily for the next 2 years to design and build perhaps a $150 million hospital wing. You may have 3,000 people coming together, and most of them haven't worked together before, and it's kind of adversarial, because in the past it's like, well, we're just going to dictate how you're going to do stuff, and if anything goes wrong, we'll sue. And I see a real lack of trust on some sites, especially if they call us in when things are not going well, and they don't want to admit things are going well, and they don't think they're going to get help from anyone else. And it is a very adversarial, fragmented process, I think. By nature.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about what would happen if all the thousands and tens of thousands of customers will go into a auto construction plant and discuss with the people on the shop floor how to do things. It will also be a mess, I guess.
Yeah, and it'll be somebody doing the doors is a different company from somebody doing the windows is a different company. it's not. But we do build buildings, and we do build them well, and they look great, and we enjoy using them. And lean just has a way of making it so much better and easier, especially the last planner system. One of the first things that happens when I put Last Planner, you know, I help them implement Last Planner, is overtime pretty much disappears. And the superintendent says, wow, I can calm down now. I don't show up at 6 a.m. and have 10 foremen waiting outside my office with problems. You know, I show up, I talk to a few people, I can sit in my office for a while and plan things out. And people are telling me, you know, what's going on their projects. So it really, you know, it just takes the temperature down, and you get a lot more time to look at other improvements, and you get the expertise. You know, I mean, the amount of expertise and experience is thousands of years, tens of thousands of years of experience on that site. How do we harness that?
So what are the basic ideas of LastPlanner to deal with all those issues?
Well, LastPlanner was born, you know, Glenn Ballard and Greg Howell. It was born, they were productivity experts who would come in and help, say, the carpenters do their work faster. And what they realized, to their frustration, is that really didn't help the rest of the project. So they decided to ask a few different questions. And what they asked the superintendents is, what are you planning to do this week? Just tell me just this week, what are you planning to do? And then they came back and said, okay, how much actually got done? And they would say about 54%. So about half of what they thought they were going to do didn't happen. And you can imagine trying to plan for manpower and materials and, you know, schedule around half not getting done what you thought it would. Now, these projects were on time and on budget, interestingly enough. So that was all something that was just included in how they figured out the schedule. And so they had an idea and they said, well, what if you had your best week ever? What if everything you said you were going to do, you could do and nothing was in your way? And they started with the weekly work plan. Let's have the best week ever. And that was the birth of the LastPlanner system, trying to make sure that we can all do what we want to do, because the most problems aren't because a trade can't do their work. The big problems are between trades, the communication between trades, between the owner and the trades, between the architect and the trades. And so what they did, of course, if you're going to have your best week ever, well, you know, things might pop up, materials aren't there, and you might say, well, how do we handle that? Well, another level would be what we call a six-week look ahead. So if you have your plan, how you're going to do the work, let's open up a six-week window and say, well, in 6 weeks, we've got to be installing the windows. Have we got the submittal? Have we got the information we need? And let's clear those constraints before it hits our weekly work plan, right? You might also say, well, let's make sure we're sticking to that plan. So every day, let's get together and huddle and make micro adjustments, either morning or just before we leave for next day. And, you know, then you can say, okay, well, what about another level? Are we sure that the plan we're following is the best plan? So how do we reach the phase of dried in, where a building is dried in? And you say, let's bring all the trades together and let's create a plan for the next 3 months that is in the sequence the trades want to work in, and they can make requests of upstream and downstream trades. And we tie all that into the overall milestone plan, which was the latest to come into this five-level system. Well, what, you know, we have 2 years to build this building or design and build this building. What point in time do we have to hit dried in? You know, when do we have to commission the mechanical systems? When do we have to make a decision that freezes the floor plan? And we pull that out. And you've seen, of course, construction schedules with maybe 10,000 items on a Gantt chart. But really, if we're looking at that overall milestone plan, you need to have 20 or 30 milestones that you've got to hit. And we'll figure out how we do that the closer in we get. So think of it as, at the top, you have the milestone plan. That's a conversation. What dates do we need to hit? What are the big chunks of work? And we take it down a notch. Okay, well, let's plan out a little more detail how we're going to do our work in the next 3 months to hit the nearest milestone. Now, the next, let's make work ready. Let's open up a six-week window on that phase plan and make sure that when those tasks come into our weekly work plan, they can be done. So do we have the information? Do we have the tools? Do we have the material? Do we have the space? Is it permitted? And next week, let's take that first week of the six-week work plan and really detail it out. I'm going to be here on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you can come in on Thursday in this area. And then every day, we're going to status it. So think of those as five levels of conversation. And the guy turning the wrench every day is literally tied in with that milestone schedule at the top.
And what I also understand, that there are a lot of questions, in contrast to what you told some minutes ago. Initially with the carpenters, they try to tell them how to do their work.
Yeah.
And then they started to ask questions. What do you need to be successful with your work?
Absolutely. So, yes, the superintendent kind of like the architect on the design side. He's trained to tell people, you go here, you dig there, you do this, you go frame that house. But now we're going to stop, because a last planner is actually a person. The last planner is the foreman. So he's the guy who can order labor and materials to the job site. He's the one who's actually overseeing it day to day on site. So he's the last planner, and he's going to come together with his other trade partners, and they're going to tell us how they think they're going to do that work. So this is the sequence I think I'm going to do if I'm a mechanical contractor. I think I want to go in this direction. This is how I want to sequence my work. This is what I need from others. And each trade gets to say, okay, well, this is what I think I'm going to do. And, you know, it's good to have, of course, up front, the general contractor will have a plan, and he'll explain, you know, this is my thoughts. But as the trades each go in this pole planning session, the trades each come in and introduce who they are and how they want to work. All of a sudden, they realize how they can work together more efficiently. Mm-hmm. And we always say that the general contractor's plan is the worst plan we could leave here today with. So let's get together. Let's figure out how we're going to do this plan. And at the very end, there's a sum up, a concept of operations. And the super says, okay, I've heard everybody and we've discussed it. And we understand each other's work. So let me reiterate how we're going to do this sequence. And you tell me if that's correct. Mm. So this is a very different way of working.
Yeah. What are typical reactions when you, for example, is coming up with the last planner idea? I guess people in general tend to, yeah, we have it always done that way. Why shall we change it now?
Yes. I mean, that you always get that when there's a change. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on both an architect in the design phase or a superintendent in the construction phase to get this done and get it done right. And they have their own methods that they've worked out over the years. And kind of giving up some of that control is difficult, right? And I've often told people that if your architect or your superintendent is not on board with Last Planner, it's almost impossible to implement. Mm-hmm. So they really have to understand how it can help them, or at least be willing to give it a try. And what's worked for us is we usually do a training. So we do a training just with a lot of simulations and games to show them what this concept is and why it works. And, you know, we might do that over 1 or 2 days. And what we've noticed is the people who come in and say, oh, this is ridiculous. That's not going to work. You know, at the end of 2 days, they're like, oh, I want to try that. and then, of course, it's a little, you know, in theory, and we say there's a joke that says in theory and practice are the same, right? But then we go on the site and we help coach the superintendents and the trades and help them actually implement it. It takes maybe, you know, 4 to 8 weeks. We don't stay there 4 to 8 weeks total, but we come back and we help them set up their meetings, their weekly coordination meetings, their daily huddles. What do you look for? What is the language that you use? Don't tell, ask, right? Even if you know that submittal hasn't been returned, don't tell them, well, you need that submittal to do your work, right? Say, so if you were going to start this work tomorrow, what would be missing? And have them tell you, well, they didn't give me a submittal. Well, okay, let's see when that submittal has to come. And let's write it on the board in the constraint log. And who is going to take care of this? And you sit and you pause and you wait for somebody to actually own it and say, well, I'll get them the information. Okay. Mm. And what date will you get them the information? They say they need it October 10th. You say, well, I can get it to them by October 5th. And you start having these conversations, right? And you help them through those conversations. You know, it's a relatively easy process. My old boss used to say Last Planner is easy. People are hard. Mm. But if you have, you know, I like to tell GCs, they say, how can we, that's our general contractors, what we call them. I like to tell them, you know, find some subs that are enthusiastic and have them help you with the other subcontractors. And usually I go for the mechanical and electrical subs because they come on to a project team early, they stay late, their little fingers are everywhere, right? Because that's just the nature of the work. And if you can get them on board, and what you need to tell them is this is not a system by which we're going to pound you. You know, we're not tracking how well you can complete your work as planned so that we can come back later and say, oh, you owe us money or you caused a delay. That's not at all what we're doing. What we're trying to do is get feedback so we can help you do the work you want to do, when you want to do it, where you want to do it, and how you want to do it, and make sure that we clear every problem out of your way and do that for every trade. So when you show up on site with your guys, you can go right where you want to go. You have your materials, you have your laydown space. The design is exactly how you think it should be built. You understand it. And you don't have any of these hassles that are the real cause of delays and cost overruns on a building.
How do people react when you start to ask them questions instead of telling them? I guess in general, nobody likes to be told what to do, but people are used for centuries, tens, hundreds of centuries to be told what to do. What is their reaction on those questions?
That can be tough, right? Because foremen are used to showing up on site and they're like, just tell me what you want me to do. Okay, I'll go do it. I know how to lay pipe. I'll just go do it. Part of that is I think they're trying to protect themselves, right? Because if they own the system, what happens if it goes wrong? If they own how they're going to do the work? And again, that's where that mistrust comes in. I don't trust you're looking out for my interests. And one thing we've noticed on site when we're trying to help them implement some of these ideas is if you don't address that trust issue up front, you're not going to get anywhere.
Because
you tell them to fill out a weekly spreadsheet of what they're going to do, fine. They'll nod their heads and they'll do it. But they're not going to give it a lot of thought, right? So it really needs to be approached in a fashion where they understand you're trying to make things easier on them. And we actually do value your expertise. I mean, you've built this type of building, you know, hundreds of times you've put this in. You tell us what you need. And it definitely, you do need to address that mood of frustration. Some people are just overwhelmed. I was talking to a hospital project manager and he said, you know, I try to get a lot of communication on my project team, but sometimes I had a subcontractor and he just built something in the design that was wrong and he knew it was wrong. But he was in such a hurry. He didn't stop. He didn't say anything. He just went and he built it. And I said, well, why did you do that if you knew the design was wrong? And it cost us all these delays at the back end. And it's like, you know, you're just in such a head down and rush, get her done. It's like, well, that's the design. Okay. And you put it in. We're trying to avoid that. So we want people to really have those conversations, hopefully up front in the design. If you can bring that mechanical subcontractor in early, I mean, wow, think of all the savings you can achieve. And he'll know what works, what doesn't, in a way that the engineer doesn't. So, but trying to get them off that mentality of, you just tell me what to do. That's one of the biggest problems. I think the other thing is they may not be used to truly planning out their work. So one thing we do with subs is we sit them down and say, okay, let's just look at your work and see how you're going to do it. And let's look at kind of your milestones. Let's look at how you install it. And they might be, well, you know, why do I have to work out how I install it? I know how I do that. And we ask the question, okay, so if you had four foremen from your firm, would they all install it exactly the same way? And they say, well, no. They say, well, okay, well, let's sit down and let's really think how we can do this. What can we prefabricate? Can we make the shop much more efficient? When do you actually need these prefabrications to come out on site. So they're not dumping the whole building's worth on your head all at once. And we really start talking with them, right? And what do you need from other people? What are internal constraints? What screwed you up? What did you do to screw yourself up last job? Or what did other people do to screw you up last job? Let's list all that and see if we can mitigate those risks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that gives them a better chance to sit down and say, okay, are you going to, you know, are you going to frame so many walls and columns in a week? Okay, how fast can you go? What materials are you going to need for that week? And just really kind of help them work through that. Because so often they're just dictated to. And that is something that's very hard. It's a mindset we need to get out from under.
Yeah. So when somebody is asking how to start with Last Planner, I understood a bit that most of the time it's a kind of a top-down way to do it. Would there be a chance to do it some way bottom-up or some way through the, let's call it, back door?
You know, often, yes, it's the owner or the general contractor comes in and says, I want to be lean. Let's do Last Planner. Help us. But that's not always the case. Again, with those major subs like electrical and mechanical, sometimes they use Last Planner and other lean techniques to plan their own work. And it shows, right? One electrical contractor told me, I want my foreman to be the smartest guys on site, right? So they show up and they can engage the general contractor. Or they can look at his plan and say, well, that's really good, but have you considered this? You know, we think we can do the work in this manner. And all of a sudden there's a conversation there engaging, right? And they may have their work. It becomes clear that you really know what your work is and you know what's going on site. And if I tell you, go do this, you're like, well, I can do that, but this is the impact it will have, you know? And they'll walk into the trailer for that subcontractor and they'll look at these sticky notes. We love using sticky notes that are on a wall and they look at their material delivery schedule. And the general contractors will sometimes ask, what is this? You know, what are you doing? And so that's kind of a bottom-up way of managing. Or they show up to an owner and they've answered a request for a proposal and they've done a plan, a pull plan of their entire job, and they come up with questions that are intelligent and they're asking, have you considered this? You know, this seemed a little unclear. I mean, if you're going from the bottom up, it's tough, right? I have a structural engineer friend. He's like, well, what if my architect isn't lean? But you can do so much with your own work. And once you start to get your own work really sorted out amongst your own staff, you can make really intelligent requests and offers of others. And it starts to become apparent and people start asking questions like, why are you always the one with the answers or the good questions, right? Yeah. So yeah, you can go bottom up. It's tough. But you can control more than you think you can.
Okay. Well, one of the last questions I always want to ask, how can other industries potentially, or not potentially, I'm pretty sure, can learn here from the construction industry and the Last Planner ideas?
Well, fundamentally, this is about how do you run a project? And we haven't talked as much about design, but what is your goal? What are you actually trying to accomplish? Who needs to be there? Who are you doing this for? And then how can we efficiently come together as a team with many different perspectives and specialties and get these things done? So I think any project management team or project manager could benefit from this. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, I've worked with a lot of different entities. One thing we're doing in Denver is government services, like Denver Human Services might be trying to figure out how can we most efficiently administer some social welfare programs and get people to know about them. They can use Last Planner to help. Or if we have a bunch of caseworkers and police and, you know, all these other agencies coming together, how do we coordinate their work if they see an abused child in the foster system? So, you know, there's a lot of ways for people who are doing projects to use the Last Planner system and adapt it. And I think you'll agree, so many times people are promoted to the position of project manager because they're very good at what they do technically. But the bulk of the time, nobody's given any training, or they get a one-day seminar. It's like, oh, you're a very good engineer. Well, okay, you're going to manage this project. Mm-hmm. Go do it. Well, what do I do? I mean, Last Planner gives you a very set way of looking at how to arrange the work of a team, and it can be translated anywhere.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard also quite a few similarities with software engineering, where I have my original background. It's quite similar topic, not that much different traits, but also many, many different people doing things on that big, big, big software system.
Yeah, and that's actually, it's funny you brought that up. Funny you should mention it. But Agile, of course, is lean, what we call lean in IT. And especially designers are now stealing from that. So I just got my Scrum Master certification, right? And we're looking at user stories. Mm. You know, you can make an empathy map. Who's your user? What are they thinking? What are they seeing? What are they hearing? What are their pain points? And you can call that a stakeholder, right? Yeah. And how do we design with them in mind? And then we do sprints. So we use, instead of maybe a weekly work plan that's on a spreadsheet, we'll actually have that week will turn into a sprint. And what's our goal for the end of the week? How do we get feedback from the stakeholders? How are we going to work together? That's to do doing done boards and Kanban boards. Yep. And that's starting to sneak into construction and definitely design. So we're stealing from the IT world and trying to adapt it to our work as well.
Yeah, I always thinking of lean people are some kind of Robin Hood, stealing good ideas from all other trades.
Yes.
Okay.
There is, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah. So, Susan, many thanks for your ideas, for the insights from one perspective, rather old industry, but quite new to lean management. So, many thanks.
Thank you very much.
Das war die heutige Episode im Gespräch mit Susan Brett-Reinhardt zum Thema Last Planner. Notizen und Links zur Episode sowie das deutsche Transkript finden Sie auf meiner Website unter dem Stichwort 252. Wenn Ihnen die Folge gefallen hat, freue ich mich über Ihre Bewertung bei iTunes. Sie geben damit auch anderen Lean-Interessierten die Chance, den Podcast zu entdecken. Ich bin Götz Müller und das war KSN2Go. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und Ihr Interesse. Ich wünsche Ihnen eine gute Zeit bis zur nächsten Episode. Und denken Sie immer daran, bei allem, was Sie tun oder lassen, das Leben ist viel zu kurz, um es mit Verschwendung zu verbringen.